Welcome to Blether Together, brought to you by Farmstrong Scotland. I'm your host, Sarah Stephen, and together we'll be travelling across Scotland to chat to farmers and crofters to learn more about them, their businesses, challenges, and the positive steps they take to manage their well-being. Our thanks go to NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for supporting the podcast series and to our founding funders. Caithness farmer Alexander Mills sadly took his own life in 2021, a tragic loss that led to an annual event being held in his memory. His cousin Russell decided to hold a rugby match between Caithness and Orkney. It focuses on the importance of connecting and supporting each other. Oh, there's also a few post-game sing-songs and beers at the bar enjoyed too. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I was about to say good evening, but we're not supposed to do any time references because this is supposed to be any time, any place. But it is good evening at the end of a very long day for you both, Glenn and Russell.
It is.
So tell me about what you've been doing today then, Russell. You go first.
I work in the corporate world. I've essentially got a 9-to-5 that is never 9-to-5. Yeah, it's just one of those stressful little jobs that keeps you going. So, yeah, that's what I do.
You don't look very stressed. You look pretty horizontal, actually.
I make a great effort to make sure the time off is used well.
Glenn, what about you? What's your day look like?
I work in the oil industry. I'm corporate side as well. I have a global responsibilities. I'm based up here in Orkney. We have a big process test facility and I go to that every day. It's over in Flotta, so I get a ferry to work, which is good fun. And then, I spend an awful lot of time speaking to folk all over the world.
And us this evening, well, Glenn and Russell, I believe it's Russ, is that right?
Yeah, that works. Yep.
Glenn and Russ, thank you very much for joining us here in the Farmstrong podcast. It's lovely to have you with us. And this is the first for me because it's a triple header. Say no more. It's a triple header. And so we're going to try and make this work. Everyone coming in. One's in Orkney, one's in Caithness, and I'm here in Aberdeenshire. We'll make it work.
That'll work.
Yeah. So normally when we start these things, or when I start the podcast, I do a bit of a quick fire question round with the contributor, but there's two of you. So I thought I would maybe ask Russell questions about Glenn and Glenn questions about Russell, because I believe you're very good friends, aren't you?
We are.
Yep. Okay, we've known each other for a long time.
Who would like to go first?
I don't mind. Fire away to me, please.
Okay, Russell's in there. He's got in quick. Right, Russell. So this is questions about Glenn. It's just first thing that comes to mind, right? What is Glenn's favourite drink?
Oh, Glenn's favourite drink. The one that he doesn't have to pay for himself. I've never actually seen him pin him down to one single drink, to be fair.
Early bird or night owl?
I would say he's an early bird, actually. To be fair, that man seems to be on the go the whole time. The whole time. But no, he probably best in the morning.
Favourite type of music?
Since the man plays in a band, I would say classic folk, anything that strums on a guitar.
It seems a silly question to ask when you're both wearing rugby shirts, but favourite sport to watch?
Rugby, definitely.
What's his favourite movie?
He's a big fan of Die Hard. He basically shapes himself on Bruce Willis, as you can tell.
Is he tidy or messy?
Very tidy. I would say he's one of the most organised people I've ever met.
Okay, decisive or procrastinator?
Whenever he gets a ball in a rugby field, he just goes in one direction. So he's already made up his mind what he's doing.
Best character trait?
Best character trait for Glenn is by far and away his sense of community. He's just one of those guys. He's just incredibly proud to call him a friend because he's just there for everybody. He's a good lad.
Well, that's a lovely way to finish your answers. Okay, Glenn, you're next. I don't know which was better, to go first or second, but anyway, you're up second. Glenn on Russell, chilled or Duracell bunny?
Oh, he's pretty chilled when he's chilled. When he's got something to do, he's a Duracell bunny. He gets on with it and gets it done.
What motivates him?
Family and friends.
Now, he's already got in first with his answer, but first at the bar or takes his time?
No, he's first at the bar. He's pretty good.
Favourite time of day?
I would say where he's at right now, relaxed in his garden after a pretty hard day's work.
If he could change one thing about himself, what do you think it would be?
To be able to grow hair again.
Best memory you have together?
Oh, God, that's a difficult one. I think it's going to have to be the first Come Ashore Cup when we swapped jerseys.
What is the best thing he's ever bought you?
I would say this jersey. Caithness, number 15, in memory of Alexander. that I got in the first Cymru Shore Cup.
Well, that's again a lovely finish to your answers. You're both off the hook.
Brilliant.
Easy, wasn't it? No problem. Okay, well, you've mentioned him a couple of times, and that's the reason why we're doing this podcast. Just tell me a little bit about Alexander, the sort of man he was.
Yeah, so Alex, he was a dedicated farmer. I guess he was one of those guys who grew up with him. We all lived on a local farm in Caithness at Bridge of Westfield, Forsyth Farm. My memories of Alexander, he was always a happy fella. You know, we used to just have nonsense all the time. And, you know, kind of as he grew up, his character remained an incredibly hardworking man. It's just such a shock the way things change, you know. But I would say he's well represented with his family now. Probably have a closer connection with them than I ever had before. That's probably a testament to how things have come about from this. But yeah, for Alexander, it's just an unexpected thing. You would never, I'd never have seen it coming.
Yeah, and just tell us, you know, if you don't mind expanding on that a little bit more, and obviously just, you know, what happened with Alexander, and obviously that being the driver for the Cymru Shore Cup.
Well, for me, like I didn't obviously know Alec. Well, I always called him Alec. I didn't know him until I started playing rugby against him. And he was a fearsome guy to play rugby against. He was a big lad, very quick and very hard. Yeah, very strong player, but brilliant off the pitch as well. We always had a right laugh. And yeah, he was just full of fun and like full of cheekiness, the same as what Russell is, as you can find out for the conversation so far. But just a genuine kind of fella. And I'll never forget the day that Russ told me what had happened, and I've known Norma Widow as long as I've known him. In fact, probably maybe even a little bit longer, because we're mutual friends before I was really playing senior rugby. So yeah, it's devastating news to get that, and you know, when it's so unexpected as well, and nobody could ever anticipate what was happening. When Russ asked if I would be interested in helping, you know, set up this game in his memory, I didn't even have to think about it. It was pretty straightforward, and it's been a privilege.
For the purposes of the listeners that, you know, don't know what the Cymru Shore Cup is all about, could you just maybe tell them why that came about? Because of obviously the terrible circumstances about what happened to Alexander.
And that unfortunate day in back in 21, it came about when, if I'm honest, I was probably frightened for other members of my family. It was not something I ever expected, and I got the phone call. And there's nothing like it. It shocks you to your core. It absolutely shocks you to your core. I'd never felt anything like that before. Because I probably hadn't seen Alexander for a wee while at that stage. You know, I'd been away doing the whole thing. I'd been travelling. You know, I just hadn't seen him. And then to have that call come through, I don't know, you react at such a basic level. It was unbelievable. So I just, as the months went on from that day, I just remember thinking we have to find a way to do something. And it was just, I don't know, it was just such a strange period of time. We had lockdown, we had the experience that we had, there's this overwhelming feeling that this cannot be the way the world is, and we have to find a way to do something about it, and a recognition that it's not just you and I, and you know, there's so many people that are feeling differently about things right now, and we have to find a way to do something about it.
I'm sure, Glenn, that you, like Russell, you know, that it was a terrible shock. And like many of Alexander's friends have probably asked questions over and over again, but can you share or maybe explain why you think what happened happened?
Oh, it's something that's really difficult to pinpoint, to be honest. Farming's a very lonely profession, and certainly in lots of farms, you've just got one person that is there on their own most of the time doing all the work, and you're just in your head the whole time. And it's very stressful as well, because your margins are so fine in farming that it's very difficult to make money unless you're like on a massive scale. So like he would have been carrying all the stresses and strains of the family and the farm and everything. That's all you can think about, is that it can only be something like that. You can't really second guess it. But during that period, it was very intense. Anything that was like playing on your mind was super intense. I had my own challenges during that period. People on furlough, and then like global management decided that we needed to cut numbers, so I ended up having to let people go, and that was the worst thing I'd ever had to do in my career. And then just that reflection, that self-reflection, while you're sitting in a funny bubble, kind of a bit strange bubble that you were in that period, that just makes you second guess things, and things started coming up, and yeah, I didn't realize that I was feeling down for a wee while. And you know, luckily, me and my wife are very open and speak. So it was, you know, I managed to, you know, get through that pretty easily with a lot of support. It wasn't long lasting. So yeah, it's very difficult to understand exactly what and why. All we know is that it happened.
Russ, for you, it's probably difficult to explain. I appreciate that, you know, being a very close friend of his as well. What sort of impact has that had on you since then and your sort of approach to life?
Yeah, it just makes me want to make the most of every moment. It really does. And I think that's kind of fed into this feeling that, you know, I really enjoy the rugby. So I just got back on the paddock and started playing again at the ripe old age of 40, 45. And, you know, just kept on doing what I love the most. To be honest, I couldn't help but just try and tell other people it was okay to do that, you know. Just because we're old doesn't mean that we can't do the things that we enjoy the most. I'd probably travel a little bit more. I'd probably, you know, just spend time with friends a lot more and certainly spend as much time as possible with family. My brother Will, he actually operates the farm and keeps there. Try and touch base with him as much as possible because it's so easy for him to just get caught up in that world of day-to-day work and, you know, straight to bed and then back up in the morning and repeat. Yeah, so it's changed me.
I mean, Glenn, the purpose of this podcast is for people to share, and it's a privilege when people do share, and, you know, those listening might be feeling the same way. You know, there's lots of ups and downs in the industry. What, you know, what sort of impact has it had on you? And again, a bit like Russ, have you changed, you know, your approaches to life? Has it made a difference to you?
Oh, absolutely. As soon as we got out of lockdown, I did the mental health first aider course at work. I got the opportunity to do that, which was a massive eye opener. And I've put into practice what I've learned several times with a number of different people that have been really, really struggling. And I've just been lucky enough to be close enough to them to see it and to be able to help. And yeah, it just makes you a bit more aware of what's happening around you, but also yourself. And it's okay to, like, you know, it is the cliche, it's okay to not be okay, but it's a really important cliche because it's true. Men are the worst ever for being open, and we don't really need to question whether it was the right decision to do the Come Ashore Cup for Russell to decide, right, let's do this, because you can see it in, like, Russ and the whole pile of Caithness boys were over playing for us old boys in our sevens. Yes, sevens. Us stupid idiots playing sevens. But after it, we just sat, the whole group of us sat in the back room of the rugby club and just yapped and chatted. And honestly, it just filled my bucket. And you know what I mean? And that is just what we do. And we open up and we speak. And you'll see this Come Ashore Cup, no doubt. I wrote it in the bit for the programme that there'll be, every now and again, somebody will disappear and somebody else will follow them into the changing room. And that guy's just been, you know, having a moment, and somebody will go and check on him. And it happens the whole way through the Come Ashore Cup. And that is because of what Russ decided we needed to do. And that's what's made it happen.
So what is the Come Ashore Cup? And why is it called the Come Ashore Cup?
The Come Ashore Cup, you know, we landed on the name because it was one of Alexander's old sayings. He used to stand at the bar and shout, "Come ashore, come ashore." And, you know, as soon as we said it, it just made sense. It just caught on. And the irony is, it's not even a cup. It's an ordinary cup. So, but it's kind of, yeah, it just really works. And yeah, I have to reiterate what Glenn says. I mean, that day brings us all together. We have conversations that we would never normally have. We kind of opened up a door that we can't close now. You know, so after that, the other weekend, we did. We all sat down. It was too cold in the pub. It was too cold in the bar. We were all up. And so we went back to the bar and started having a chat. And we talked about just everyday things that are impacting us in good and bad ways, and went over it. So the Come Ashore Cup is very much the epitome is the day, but what it's brought is all year round. It is quite something. It is amazing. Delighted we did it.
So basically, it's a game of rugby. What you decided to do, you know, in Alexander's memory, was to play rugby, dust off those rugby boots. And I'm not saying you're, by any shape or form, middle-aged men, but you're no spring chickens.
Nope.
some more than enough.
All I'm thinking is, not only is there lots to talk about at the end of the rugby game, but I'm sure there's also a lot hurting.
Well, yeah, it'd be a fallacy to think we actually do anything when we're at it.
I tell you, as we're getting older, we've realised the first time that we actually played against each other was, like, as a veteran, a couple of veterans teams, was in the Golden Oldies tournament in Aberdeen, at Groats Road in Aberdeen, and we were our last game. Honestly, it was just carnage. It was like we were all, you know, we had everybody from 35 to probably just under 70 years old playing, and Caithness said one guy sent off another guy.
Two.
Yeah, another guy followed him pretty soon afterwards. Honestly, they broke a couple of our guys, but we still beat them. but honestly, it was just like stupid. It really was.
Yeah.
But so when we play, we can't help but be competitive, but the body's not able to be that competitive. So now, like when big Tom McGee runs at me or Tommy Sutherland, I kind of just jump on top of them and try and hold on rather than try and smash them anymore because it's just stupid.
Yeah.
So we have such a laugh.
I'm thinking that the Caithness and Orkney pharmacies must be sold out of deep heat in the run-up and post the game. Although I appreciate other sort of muscle relief is available as well. But out of that rugby game has grown a much bigger event. I mean, it's not just a rugby game.
Yeah. Now, like, so this year, I'm taking a leaf out of the amazing work that Russ did last year in Caithness, and we've got a craft tent. Within that tent, we're going to have like some local mental health charities. We're going to be there, and the Young Farmers Clubs are going to be in there, and we've got kids, bouncy castles, all that kind of stuff, and we've got a girls game again following on from the sevens that Caithness had last year. So it's more about everything rather than just the game.
We obviously were touching on the fact that it's grown into be a much bigger event, which is, I suppose, connecting the communities together and everybody being there to support each other. And I suppose that's a wonderful thing to have created. And just tell us about the sort of how many people come along in the day and the sort of vibe and atmosphere.
So on the first one, I guess we just thought we were going to play a game of rugby and we were just going to have some fun and we might get three men and a dog to come and watch us. And I just remember as we were leading into it, my uncle turned around to me and he says, Russ, you better be prepared. I think there's a lot of people coming. And I just thought, okay, all right. I took that on board and I tried to prepare accordingly. But, you know, a lot of people, it was 100. I'm going to hazard a guess we had 500 people turn up that day. It was a real eye-opener for us. And it was probably, you know, what we did. We did a lot of little special things. And it was really important to the players. But then when we realized how important it was for the community as well and for, you know, Alexander's family, you know, it was always going to be important for them. But to actually see how many people came out to support them, it just made you change your mind about what it was going to be. And then Orkney reciprocated that and we got something similar on their side. And then we got into the third year and things just exploded. So it felt as if we needed to find a way to sort of reach different communities ever so slightly. So I'm going to hazard a guess. We had somewhere in the region of about 800 to 1,000 people turn up at that last event. It was exceptional. Throughout the day, you know, people coming and going, and it was greatly, it was absolutely blessed by the weather. But the local support, you just couldn't believe it. You know, the amount of suppliers that were giving us stuff for free. You know, we had 10 benches provided by different companies to let people sit out, enjoy the day, do the things that, you know, meet, greet and talk. Good, really good. On to greater things, you know.
I mean, I think, you know, where you guys are based, Orkney, Caithness, they're pretty isolated. I mean, I know they're the centre of the universe for you guys, like Aberdeenshire is for me, and I think Aberdeenshire is isolated. But I wondered just what, you know, you've talked about the things that you've taken away from what happened and how you've changed your approach to life and things that you're now doing differently. And I suppose, you know, for those communities, and there'll be a lot of people like yourself living in those communities on small, remote, you know, big farms, small farms, crofts, everything. And just whether or not, how you can, or what I'm trying to say is, there must still be a lot of people out there who do feel quite isolated and lonely at times. So how do you spread that message? How do we all get better at that?
That's the reason that there's mental health charities involved. And like, so the first one was Rasabi, was the one that you picked in, Russell, was it not? And then we've had Farmstrong, I've come on board. I mean, John Scott, the chair of Farmstrong Scotland, is a good mate of both me and Russ. Played rugby against them for Donkeys years as well. So having that farming connection is really, really important, I think. And then, you know, the guys last year, there was a farm visit and it was absolutely, you know, stowed. It was really well attended. Folk loved it. And we've got another one here, the NFU local office in Orkney is, you know, quite happy to organise that. That just keeps that connection there as well. But there is no doubt that it's not just us that's playing and us that's organising it that are being affected by this, like, or being impacted positively by it, because the culture in both our clubs, I'm sure it's the same for you, Russ, but like the culture in the Orkney Rugby Club has changed since we've started promoting men's mental health through the Come Ashore Cup, and everybody's more on board with it than they've ever been before. So the impact is obvious.
I mean, Russ, you spoke about having a 9 to 5, and that probably gives you quite a lot of stimulus. It's a, you know, you probably have a social element to your day, but there'd be a lot of people living and working in your part of the world that don't have that.
Actually, I see it with my brother. You know, I really see it. It kind of hammers home. And, you know, I think I met up with him on Saturday at a barbecue. And, you know, he admitted himself it'd probably been the first time he'd been off the farm in 2 months. So it's not lost on me that there's plenty of folk out there. So it's the reason the Cumbershore Cup is held in the early part of June. It's that period when the farmers are actually have the access to come and, you know, they have the availability to come. And it's the reason we've engaged the young farmers, because we recognise that they will actually be the ones that will probably learn the lessons, you know, in the best way and be able to notice it in their own people. Every little thing is done purposely just to broaden it into another sector that actually supports it. And if we get one more person to come along, brilliant. But the main thing is for farmers to actually spread the message. If they say, hey, that was a great day, really enjoyed it, and we've got one more coming along and hopefully we can help one more.
Yeah, they find it hard to talk about it though, yeah. Don't they, farmers?
If we very supply beer, so. If they supply beer, they do okay.
Sounds like farmers and rugby players have got a lot in common.
Well, actually, I wrote that down when I was looking, you know, just kind of reading up on what we're about to do with this podcast. And it's pretty clear that the connection between rugby and farming, a very close one, because the values that are in the rugby family are very connected to the values that farmers work to as well. Helping each other and, you know, just looking after each other, as well as having fun and, you know, enjoying a beer and stuff as well. The social aspect of it too.
I'm wondering, just before the window starts steaming up and the room starts swaying, what sort of conversations take place at the aftermatch party? What do people talk about?
I'll start, because the first one, you know, it was a very emotional event for us all. A lot of raw emotions that we hadn't really tackled in the past. And thankfully, Russ had the foresight to have a couple of bars available instead of just the one. I was standing with Anson, who was Alex. Best man, I think. And we were standing chatting in the corner of the one bar, and in the other corner was Russ's brother and some pals, and they were like, 1 minute they were laughing away, and Anson was, you know, we were having quite a deep conversation, and then we turned around and Anson pointed at them and they were in tears and they were all hugging, and then Anson just burst out laughing and said, you know, what's going on here? Some, like, we're going from laughing to crying, and it was like little like groups of folk all over the place putting their arm around each other and making sure everybody was okay. So we were just speaking about Alec and, you know, what he was like and some of the stories. So yeah, I'm not going to repeat them, like, of after game stuff and just the nonsense that you get up to as a rugby player. And then, you know, you get into the bit of emotional conversations. And so everybody's feeling a little bit emotional. And then, you know, everybody's just looking after each other. And then at the same time, having a massive laugh and a beer, and you know, so it's great. That's what it's all about.
That's what's up. And then that's obviously, we spoke about that being the first year. Russ, have conversations changed in that time?
I think they're just more open. I think it's like everybody just feels safer having a chat. Like, you know, and I think it was the other weekend was just a great example. And we covered topics that we would never have thought would be something you would want to share in an open changing room with all these guys, you know. But every single one of them just sat, took it on board, basically shared, you know, their support and moved on. So I can't say it's anything but good that's come from it, really. Bizarrely. But yeah.
Yeah.
Penultimate question to you both. Glenn, you're first. What's the one thing you do every day that makes you feel better?
Oh, I never thought about that. Be open. Ask people how they are and be happy to tell others how I'm feeling. At work, I try to be very open with everybody and just make sure that they're okay. And not in a way that you're kind of chasing them around saying, are you okay? Not like that, but just being open and available. I think your friends, your colleagues, your family, I think that's what I try and do.
Russ, is there one thing you do for your well-being every day?
Yeah, I think I try and be far more aware of how I'm feeling as well, you know, and because of that, I probably keep one eye out for how I see other people reacting. I probably look at anger and joy differently now. It's okay not to be okay, and then find your way back from that.
I'll just back that up, Russ, because at the evening that we're speaking about after the sevens, you came up to me, you were one of the first, Tommy came up to me as well, and you put your arm around me and said, are you okay? Are you sure? Because you're kind of in work mode, you're not in enjoying mode. And I had a lot of stuff going on at the time. I was just managing and just getting that reassurance that somebody was looking after me as well. Just, it makes a huge difference. Huge.
Well, you're going to be going head to head pretty soon. Are you both playing?
Yeah.
Oh, you are playing? I thought he was going to cop out, but there you go.
No chance. Broken river, no broken river. I'm playing.
Okay, he's laid down the gauntlet. Glenn, what
Yeah.
position do you play?
Pretty much anywhere in veteran stuff, but we both play the same, more or less the same position. We both play in the centre, so I'm hoping that we'll be opposite each other in the centre.
Okay, the final question has to be, who's going to win, Orkney or Caithness?
Us.
Oh, do you want me to take this one, Glenn? Well, I mean, I think this time, I mean, our lads are very keen to come over to Orkney and actually win this one. I'll be honest. Orkney are a very fearsome team, incredibly fearsome. I think they're somewhere in the region of 45 players waiting for us.
Everybody's got to get
So,
2 minutes on the
exactly. Come on, bash us and go off. But no, it's going to be incredibly competitive. I think home advantage is absolutely key. But we're desperately keen to make a change in the results because it's always been the home team that wins.
Well, it sounds like whatever happens, whatever the result, you're sure of a great get together and a great party at the end of the match. And both of you, Glenn and Russell, Russ from the beauty of Orkney and Caithness, thank you so much for your time and thank you for sharing your experience of Alexander and your time with Alexander and just being very open with us here in Farmstrong.
No
You're
problem,
welcome.
it was a pleasure.
Thank you to Farmstrong as well for the support, because you know what you're doing is why we're
Yeah.
doing this as well. It's just exactly the same thing. The support that you've given the NFU for the farm visit and stuff, that's it helps in so many different ways to get more folk to do it. So thank you.
Yeah, second that massively. I think you, from Farmstrong's perspective, what we felt was they actually they really make a tangible difference by doing the things that you're doing there. It was just great to see.
We hope you enjoyed today's blether and it has provided some inspiration for your own well-being. One small step can make a big impact. Find something that works for you. To read our latest stories and news, download our resources and tools, or connect with Farmstrong Scotland, visit our website, allthews.farmstrongscotland.org.uk, or follow us on social media.